All aboard the Hot Mess Express. I'm your host, Mark Johnson. What are you looking at me like that for?
I thought you forgot your intro.
No, I wrote it down this time.
Oh my gosh.
Because when I was listening to the end of the last one, I struggled, so I made sure to write it down this time.
That's not the... You forgot the end of last time.
I think I messed both of them up. No, I got the first... I got the intro right.
I know, I just said you got the end wrong last time.
I was just talking about the end. So what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Laser crabs.
Oh, gosh.
Thermostat.
Oh, we're talking about the thermostat today. Yeah. Oh, I thought we were talking about feng shui.
No, because last time that's what we had decided on.
Oh, for the thermostat. Got it.
We can talk about you ruining my life another time.
Isn't that every time?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Ruining.
Oh.
Present tense.
Oh, got it.
Story time. Well, this will get into why we're talking about the thermostat. And thermostat is a... I'm trying to think of what the word is I'm looking for.
Describe what you're trying to say.
Like a word that's going to describe or encapsulate this topic.
What's the topic?
Marital disputes. Points of contention.
Yeah, but
learning,
like,
how to live with an annoying, I mean, a different person.
Hey!
Oh, hey. There's the sign.
Your slaps are so loud. You're going to bruise your thigh that way.
Okay, so, story time. Our first apartment... Newlyweds. We got married in June.
Yeah.
It was the middle of summer. Move into an old
farm. It
wasn't
the middle of summer.
Beginning of summer. Yes. Yeah. Well, the end of June. Almost a third of the way through. Anyway. In an old farmhouse apartment. No central air.
It was lovely.
So, no, it was not lovely. Hence the beginning of this story. So we had to get window units. And the window units that we had, I don't remember where they came from. I don't think they were new.
They were not
There
new.
Might have been one that we bought new for downstairs.
No. I think all of them we got from other people.
Did we? Okay. Because one of them...
We were poor. We were really poor.
That's true. We didn't have the like accordion things that go from... the end of the unit to the window to keep bugs out. So my dad had to cut out pieces of insulation and duct tape it to the wall and the thing. And then when there was, he also, because the windowsill wasn't flat, he had to build this like wooden contraption to be able to sit over top of where the window like track was. And then when it would rain, we'd have to put towels under it because it would, anyway. So story, well, not really a story, but we originally, so how we determined which side of the bed we sleep on from then until forevermore was because of where the window and the AC unit was placed.
Yep.
In this bedroom. So originally I was going to be on the side closest to the door because I was going to be a manly man and protect my new bride.
Yes, from all the cows that escape.
Which may be another story for another time. So we did that. I don't even know if we did it for many nights or if it was like the first night or what. I don't know how cold it was or hot it was, but the first time we blasted the AC, it ended up being the only, we didn't want to have it on the window right behind us because that would have gone right down both of our heads. So for whatever reason, we picked the one on the right side, which was your side, and pretty probably within either the first night or first 10 minutes even, you're like, I can't do this because it would just blast right on that side of the bed.
Just thinking about this makes me cold.
So we switch. So now I'm on the right side. And then you get to fight off any burglars and save your pretty husband.
Not anymore.
Well, now there's more points of entry.
Well, you're also the first point of contact on each point of entry. Our room right
now.
Now
I am.
Yeah.
Before
no, because we just feng shui our room.
Yeah. So, any hotel, Airbnb, other place we stay, I'm always on the right side of the bed because of that first not thermostat. Oh my goodness.
Air
AC
conditioning unit.
window unit, which brings us to one of the highest points of contention in our marriage, which is the thermostat. My lovely bride, what would you set the thermostat to?
In the summer, I
Trick
wouldn't.
question. You wouldn't.
Well, not in the summer, I wouldn't. Not in the summer, I wouldn't. If I had it my way in the summertime, we'd just keep the windows open and just.
Sweat everything off.
No. No, it would be fresh air and
You're right,
beautiful
we
breeze.
wouldn't. I would. And as we've stated in previous podcasts, if we're both happy, we're both happy. If you're happy, it doesn't matter if I'm happy.
Our poor children would probably sweat too. Their sweaters. Yeah, in the summertime I
Well,
would
I'm a
def
hoodie.
what?
I'm a hoodie.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, okay.
I like them better than sweaters.
It's not funny. I think you're the only person that appreciates your dad jokes.
I think there's a lot of dads that appreciate my dad jokes.
Anyway, summertime there would be zero air conditioning whatsoever. In fact, I'm one of those people in the summertime who I love when my son bakes in the sun. That makes no sense. I love when my car bakes in the sun
What's wrong with you?
on like a 99 degree day.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, you don't even know the best part though.
When we get in the car now with our older girl, she complains every single time that it's so hot inside the truck.
Well, hold on. So I like to bake. And then I love to get in the car and then shut the door and just feel it before turning it on.
It's
Remember
a
when our
wonder
oldest
we
one
got to
told.
it's a wonder we got to tenure. I don't know why I don't divorce you now.
We talk about speaking about our oldest child.
No, well, I meant the oldest that's living here currently is what I
Yes,
meant. Okay.
our oldest that is currently living here. Remember? I can't remember what season it was in. But remember when she's like, "Mommy, I'm like a toast," because she was so hot in the back.
I vaguely remember that.
Can't remember what season it was in, but yes, like in the wintertime, my heat is turned like all the way up. I don't really care if everybody's sweating out, like my heat is on. I will say though, in the house, I just layer up because I'm too cheap to put the heat on to where I would be comfortable. And you probably wouldn't let me put it where I would be comfortable in general.
For which?
For the wintertime, if we were to
What
put
would
like the
you
heat
put it
on,
at to be comfortable in the wintertime?
like 75.
Oh, like higher than we
Yeah, like
normally do it.
I'm just too cheap to even approach the topic, especially currently because we use oil. It just would burn through it like crazy.
Yeah, even when I was in college, I slept in shorts and a t-shirt year round because it was like I have flannel pajamas, but I don't think I ever actually wear them to bed. I think I only wear them throughout the house.
Not I.
At one point, we had the comforter. I would fold my half on top of your half, so you would have double comforter, and I'd have no comforter.
And that was with my weighted blanket too.
I don't think I had mine at the time yet.
And I still wear flannels to bed. And if you ever get a fan, because you've been talking about putting a fan up in your side of the bed for the.
I've also realized I might need that back in my office again because the vent that we put in the mini split doesn't face my desk. So unless it's stay cooled off, I may need a fan directly on me.
So why don't you just put it up in the room and see how you do, and then we can just get another fan.
I didn't say I. That's more pressing, is what I'm saying. The office.
Well, it's not hot now. Don't give me that face. It's not. It has not been
The
like a.
last 2 days, before I remember to put it back on, because I'm trying to turn it off when I'm not in there, because this whole conversation, it takes a little while, and I've been sweating in there. And normally when that would happen during the day, I would turn the fan on until I cool off, and then I would let the mini split do its thing.
Is our air on right now?
My office is.
Like,
and so is the one in our bedroom.
Yeah, is that why I've been so cold?
But I have not turned the kitchen on because
you
I know
did
I get
have the
yelled
kitchen
at.
on the one day because I
Yeah,
walked
but
in
I
and
didn't yesterday or today. I was going to yesterday when you and the caseworkers were here, but I didn't want to get yelled at.
Well, I was yelling at the caseworkers, so I mean, actually, I wasn't. I was very kind. I followed your directions to be nice.
So,
did we talk about Haiti and what happened?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
The
Okay.
barometer
The
story.
barometer story. Okay.
I don't remember which episode. I'm not a good enough podcast host to be like, oh, I'm going to link it in the show notes to go back and listen to the story.
That would make my brain hurt if you were that skilled.
Yeah. That's what you get interns for. But
my intern's last day was Friday.
Save that for your love of the week.
Oh.
So anyway, thermostat was going to be a fun way to kind of move into marital contention, dispute, differences, expectation, all the fun stuff.
It's going to be a multi-podcast episode.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what...
how long this goes. So the first question I have for you.
Oh, no.
Is what were points of contention early on in our marriage?
I don't really remember much of our first year of marriage because it was such a blur. There was so much happening. I feel like dishes was one of them.
Absolutely.
Dishes was one of them because in the farmhouse, it was... hand wash only because we didn't have a dishwasher. That was frustrating. And then also laundry, because I am totally one of those people that say a blessing over my clothes before throwing them in all at once. And Mark wanted me to iron his jeans. What? It's true.
I know, because you're that's
normal
who doesn't
people,
iron their jeans?
Normal people don't iron their jeans. Okay, if you were a great, awesome podcast host, I would ask you to put in a poll.
For, how do you put a poll in a podcast?
I don't. Put it on your Instagram. Who irons their jeans?
Oh, yeah, I do have an Instagram. There's like 3 followers.
Like, literally, nobody irons their jeans.
At @trough_thoughts.
What?
@trough_thoughts.
Oh.
It's my handle.
Your
handle.
Oh, goodness gracious. But yeah, so like laundry actually was a big deal because I like legitimately don't care. I mean, peace be with you clothing. Go in and hopefully you come out okay. And Mark was very particular. Still is very particular on where his clothes go. And we have actually since developed a rhythm in our marriage over laundry because I'm not allowed to fold Mark's clothes. I do it wrong every time.
Okay, so I want to take one other thing was lists, like grocery lists for things that we need.
I've always done lists.
No, you have not. Oh, honey. Oh, honey.
Oh, you mean when I like started meal planning and stuff? Because I guess before like we were married and stuff, like I didn't really meal plan. I just kind of ate as I went.
All right, before I have an aneurysm, we're going to get back to that. I want to go to the laundry thing. So to give kind of more of a historical account of the laundry situation, I'm pretty sure, yeah. So I've talked a couple of times in previous podcasts about surviving heart attacks, and this is one of those. What's the thing called when you put all the sodas in the same cup?
I don't know.
I forget what that's called. Nick Miller does it in the Roan episode of
It's Nasty.
Girl. Dang it, I forget what that's called. Anyway, so your approach is just throwing whatever in and getting all the things turned pink was not going to happen. So I think I did most of the laundry early on.
Yep. I was also in grad school at the time too. So like,
Yeah,
You had more like house
and I was trying to do
responsibilities.
more of the dishes, and I tried to do as much as I could around the house because you were spending time. You had a job, you had an internship, and then you also had school. So I, well, let me back up even further. And this is kind of one of the questions that maybe we can get back to in other situations of like expectations for things moving in. So we talked about how our families of origin are very different, and pretty much any topic we'll touch will probably be polar opposite. So in my family, my mom had all the different loads, everything separated, everything with the different type, with the delicates, the regulars, the colors, the lights, ironing, all the stuff. And like it was all done pristinely. My mom will probably laugh at this because she probably didn't think so, but to me it was. Everything was folded nicely. Everything went in a specific drawer. It wasn't just thrown in stuff. T-shirts weren't rolled up like some weirdos in college used to do and bunching your socks together. No, everything had a specific way
Your
that.
the way you do your socks is the weirdest thing.
Okay. Anyway, so that was a big point for me, and like at that time, my brain was there's one right way to do something and one best way to do something. And if I find a better way, I will change to that way. But there's only one best way. And if you don't do that, what is wrong with you? Because clearly it's the best way. And this led into dishes and a couple other things where, well, and I'll touch on that. So for dishes, I remember saying like, this isn't clean because there were some specks on there. And you're like, I just washed it. It's clean. I'm like, no, do you see this right now? And I didn't realize like how critical and how picky that felt to you. And you know, we'll get to growth mindset and all that stuff, but there were expectations I had of what certain chores would look like. What is clean, what is acceptable for laundry, how it should be folded.
Folding has never changed.
Well, and I'll say that one is one where I actually have, if it's my clothes, I enjoy folding my clothes. Yours stress me out because girls' clothes, nothing is the same. I don't know how to fold any of it.
I'm aware. I mean, our sizes aren't the same. Nothing makes sense in girl
But
world.
like, no, like I wear a shirt that's either short sleeve, long sleeve, pants, or shorts. They all can be folded the same way, whether it's a polo, or a dress shirt, a flannel, a t-shirt, a sweatshirt. They all can be folded the same way. Nothing you own can be folded the same way, unless it's a unisex shirt or sweatshirt. Maybe your pants, I can say, I've learned how to fold those.
My pants are no different than normal pants. Now you're sighing. How's that make you feel?
Yeah, so folding is something I still enjoy because of, as a recovering perfectionist, that is one level that I like to still be able to have some sense of order. And now there's certain times where I don't care as much because I don't have the capacity. But so yes, you will now wash everything. But I've had us split into separate baskets so we pre-sort so that way you're not sorting, shall I say, incorrectly. As you're about to throw it
It
in
is a
and be like, oh, Mark's not here. He's not going to find out. I'll just throw it in.
creative way to sort.
Okay. I guess I shouldn't tell you how many times I fix which piles you put them in our
Okay, well,
room.
right now we just changed our
Oh,
baskets
honey, it was
and
way before that. I even
that
drew you a diagram.
I
Do you remember
never
that?
ever referenced. I never referenced
We
that diagram.
had like three different, or maybe four different, like three-part things, and I drew you a diagram to show you which went in
You
which
did,
one.
and I never referenced it.
The
The
what?
reason why you drew the diagram was because you thought that would be helpful, and
Yes.
I never thought to myself, "Huh, let me look at the diagram." I would be like, "Oh, this one looks like reds."
Well, tenure. Was it worth it? What?
You're stuck now.
Yeah, so I guess I kind of wanted to have some of the, well, to the list thing, you wouldn't, I'm like, so first of all, you wouldn't keep backups of anything.
No, I would not. No, except for peanut butter.
I was actually thinking about having that be story time, but it wasn't enough of a story. Basically, we ended up with one ginormous jar and two or three other jars of peanut butter because you wouldn't look to see what was in the cabinet before you bought more. So you had peanut butter for...
In fairness, that was a really hard cabinet to look into. It was like a really weird shape. Okay, so...
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. So this was a pantry that was like underneath the steps at the old farmhouse. And it was deep. Like, I would have to squat in there to like go back and take a look, see at what was back there. And that was just a lot of work.
Girl, please. I don't remember what I was saying before that.
Peanut butter list. Situation. List. You were going to list.
So back up. So... If you have paper towels, hand soap, food, whatever it is, you'd run out and be like, well, I guess we got to run to the store to get it. Or, oh, I guess we're not going to have that. I'm going to have to figure something out. Like, no, just buy two of them when you go there. And when one gets empty, add it to a list. In my head, this was like, I don't understand how any human doesn't think this way or wouldn't. Ugh. My brain is itching right now just thinking about this. So eventually, after a while, I got on you to make a list and to put backups. And now I will put times two on everything because I know that's if it's only something that is like one's gone and one is needed, I'll put one. But if I know that this was the last one, better put times two because we know for sure. You're not going to know if it's empty or not because you don't check the cabinets.
Nope. Well, so here's the thing that I think is important to talk about too. I lived on my own before moving in with you.
Yeah.
You always have lived with somebody. You didn't really have to. In college, did you grocery shop at all or did you just do the...
I did.
But like you had a meal plan. Like it wasn't like you were planning food.
Well, I had like the... X number of meals in the cafeteria, and then the rest were flex dollars, and then I supplemented with what I would get at the grocery store.
Yeah, so, like, the whole list thing, like...
And then you freaked out about me just eating frozen chicken patty sandwiches every day, so you started cooking for me.
Yes, because that's just ridiculousness.
I but loved like... ranch on chicken patty sandwich. Oh, ew, so good.
That still sounds nasty to me.
And pizza bagels. Bagel bites.
But, like, what qualifies as a meal to you and I are two very different things. Still so, for, is. Like, me, when I was living on my own, I didn't really, like, need a whole ton of things to, like, figure things out. I was like, oh, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? Oh, you know what? Nachos sounds really good.
Not a meal.
Heat up some nachos. Or it is not. It is a meal.
It's a snack.
And then I would be like, oh, you know what? I will make a crock pot something. Beans and rice, and I will eat that.
Beans.
Poor baby bean. I'll eat that for a couple of days. Like, I did not require much. And then, like running out, I never ran out of toilet paper. I don't think I ran out of paper towels. Never ran out of coffee. But I was, like, close enough to the store that, like, I was running around. At that time, before we got married, I had two jobs. I was in school, like, planning a wedding, like I was always running around places, so it wasn't a huge deal to just like stop and pick something up in addition to that. So it was just kind of the way of life.
Says the person who can't stand long enough at a pump to fill her entire gas tank can.
Yeah.
Tank.
Yeah, no, because who has time for that? I want
to
stay in
the car.
Oh,
but we have time to go to three different stores on the way home from something.
It wasn't three different stores. It was literally a Giant and it was fine. But no. Pumping gas is stupid, and I think we should all follow what New Jersey does and just have somebody else do it for us.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's so nice. Stay in my car.
No, because they never do it right.
What? How do you pump gas wrong?
You're getting sidetracked. We don't...
You just told me that you can pump gas wrong.
You can.
No.
Yes, you can.
How can you...
First of all, at the time that we were going to Jersey... The correct way to pump gas, which I have since loosened up a little bit on.
Oh my gosh.
You have to click it to the exact dollar, or I'll allow 50 cents. But most of the time, it had to be up at the exact dollar where it went.
These are the things I never think about.
And they would never do that.
Because it doesn't matter.
Also, my truck has something weird where when it's like super empty and you start pumping it, if like the gas goes in so fast and it splashes back, it thinks it's full. So they always, I always have to argue with them. My tank is empty. Just keep doing it. It's going to keep shutting off on you until it fills up a little bit. And I don't like arguing with people about my own truck that I've been driving for years.
They might every think you're time. Just a crazy person. I would think you're a crazy person.
Remember Scratchy?
We can't.
There's only a few people that will get that reference.
Yeah, let's that's so wrong. That is
so anyway.
That is called how my childhood went wrong, and that was so mean. We didn't know the man.
All right, so we have a couple small examples, quote unquote small examples, of differences of expectation of how brains work, families of origin did things, life circumstances did things. I was very much looking back. I'm not really sure how I lived. Like, yeah. How I survived you.
Wait, what?
Like, I don't... I think I would have thrown myself in the river.
With what?
With, like, my expectations and my, like, rigidness of there's one way. There's only one way. If you don't do it this way and it's not satisfactory enough, like...
It's love, honey. You love me.
So I'm saying I don't know how you put up with me.
Oh,
that was like how I survived you. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules on what words you could use. So I was trying to beat around saying that I'm surprised you didn't kill me. Anyway.
That's going to be bleeped out.
I think I've said that before.
Okay.
I don't know. Now that I have worked really hard on growth mindset and now have an understanding that brains are not all the same. There's not always a clear right answer. Sometimes the answer does depend on circumstances. That was the other thing that drove me insane. When I'd ask you a question, a theoretical, and you would be like, well, it depends on this. I don't know. What's this, this, this? No, just answer the question. Well, I have 10 more questions.
Yeah, because I wanted to get the answer to what you were getting at.
So as a little boy who had just gotten married, I didn't know that there was another way to live life. I thought there was only one logical brain. So.
And then look at you. All these years later, you've been thrown into foster care.
Oh, yeah. I remember in a previous small group, someone saying like you can be type A until you have kids,
and that's just accurate.
Throw us out the window, then throw trauma in there. Whew. You type element of P.
Type element
of P. Elemento, like E L E M E N O,
like on our youngest shirt.
Yeah. So I wanted to get a little bit into the conflict itself, how we used to resolve or not resolve, how we've worked on it, and things that we do better now. Because for any relationship, when you're in close quarters with someone for an extended period of time, the more safe you feel with that person, the more combative you can get. Because when you feel safe, you feel like you can push back. And sometimes you end up hurting the person you love most, the most, because of that proximity, that closeness. So I don't know that I remember a whole lot of how we did conflict in the beginning. I just know there was a lot of defensiveness. You always this, this, and this, getting heated, trying to, like, I had to fix every situation in the moment. I didn't understand, which one of the things that we do now is when we're both heated, a lot of times one of us will say, we need to come back to this. I'm taking a walk. And because neither one of us is thinking clearly, so there's no way we're going to get to a resolution when our emotions are flaring.
Right.
But at that point in time, I was like, if we don't fix this now, we're never going to come back to it.
You still have a little bit of that, but you've come a long way.
I do, but I've learned to pick which things are the necessities and which things can wait. And I think there's even some part of like my body that can kind of sense when my own brain just isn't latching on for whatever reason. Then I realize like, okay, this is a me thing, so let's let it be. And maybe when my brain processes more, I'll come back and be like, all right, now I understand what you were saying. I just needed a minute.
When your brain crackpots.
Yeah. So do you remember, other than what I said about how we would do conflict stuff?
It was a lot of just learning how to communicate well. I think that we are very different and we communicate differently. We argue differently. Like, that's just kind of like the reality of who we are as people.
Talk about premarital with the antenna.
I don't remember all of that. I remember that like motion that you're doing that makes you look ridiculous, but I don't remember why.
So our pastor who did premarital counseling and his wife were very similar in personality to the two of us, where you would be like passionate in the moment and like emotional and like, why can't you respond to me or whatever? And our pastor has said, put your finger up on your head like little antennas to let them know you need to process, or you're processing.
That's right.
I'm listening. I'm not ignoring you. I'm processing, and I don't have words to say to you right now. So, and it was kind of also a comical way to bring a little bit of relief to cut the tension a little bit. Because there are some people, and I don't remember if this was him or people that he had talked about, where like the husband would just go in the garage, just walk away. And it would look like you're ignoring that person, but he just needed the chance to process.
Yep.
And couldn't speak. Like, you're able to speak right off the top what you're feeling.
Yep.
It just takes my brain longer to process and digest things, because I also want to make sure that I'm being fair and understanding the situation before I respond. And that's just the way that I'm wired.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pros and cons to both things.
But I think that was a lot of it. It was like learning how to communicate and learning how to argue well. I think that, you know, arguments and disagreements are normal and rational. And honestly, if you're not having them, you're either a liar or somebody suppressing something. Like,
or you're on drugs.
Oh my gosh.
AKA happy pills.
Okay. I can't even. But like, it's about learning how to argue well. It's about learning how to communicate yourself, but then also how the other person communicates. Like,
and if you don't like the term argue, you could use
disagree, debate,
advocate for yourself, seek understanding, seek resolution, whatever word you want to use.
But I think it's not only just like you knowing how you communicate, but like recognizing how the other person communicates as well. Like, that antenna thing, like knowing that you need that space to process was a game changer for me, because I like to rip the Band-Aid off, which is funny. like, I like to just get it all out and like, let's get this done and be done. And in the time I'm able to do that, you're still thinking through where you stand and everything. And to me, what that looks like is like, you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
But actually, you're just trying to figure out where it is that you fall in things. And I think learning how to, one, communicate well, and then two, learning how you communicate was a game changer.
And I think one of the other things that I had learned, not as a child, but as a teenager, that I learned from my parents, that it's imperative to not react out of emotion. And I've told multiple people this story. I'll give the short version of it. I don't remember what age I was, but driving back roads, lead foot, new driver, may have been a couple of years, I don't know, still 17, 18 years old, driving back roads, and there was one spot where I hit a fork in the road, and I hesitated and didn't turn the correct way, and I tried to overcompensate, and then I ended up, basically, there were rocks at the edge to protect from that type of thing, and I totaled my dad's car. I called him right away, told him what happened, and he came to get me. He barely said a word to me. He asked if I was okay, made sure I was safe, dealt with the police for the police report, for the accident report, and then he's like, we're not talking until tomorrow. He got me home, got me to bed, and can you stop whatever you're picking at?
Sorry.
Good grief. You're ruining my heartfelt story.
My bad.
So he told me later that he would... You're still doing it!
You can't hear it.
Yes, I can! That's how I know you're doing it!
Oh my gosh.
Just because it's under the blanket doesn't mean I can't see it or hear it.
I'm just...
Get your hands out of the blanket.
That sounds terrible.
No, I'm treating you like a child.
Better.
Stop messing around and go to sleep.
I would love to.
He told me later that had he reacted or addressed it that night, he would have said or did something he would have regretted because he was heated. Now, I couldn't really tell how high he was, but I found out from my punishment how high he was, and we don't need to get into that, but it was worth the consequences matched the action. Mm-hmm. And there was reason for it, and you know, I won't get into all that now, but that interaction is one of like the life-changing spots in my life where I remember messing up so badly and my dad being nothing but caring and gentle until the next day, so that way he could calm from emotion and be able to talk to me in a logic way.
Mm-hmm.
And then be able to give the reasons for it, and so it wasn't just blowing up at me, yelling at me, taking away every possible thing, which sometimes you like to threaten to our kids. I wanted to take away this, but you can thank daddy because he told me to.
That's so true.
So I learned very early on, if your emotions are super high, you better take a pause. And I don't think I knew how to communicate that at the time, so I would just stay silent because I knew if I didn't say, you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all.
And that would just escalate me Bandit. More. I remember that just escalating me so much more was when you yeah. would stay silent.
That bothered you because you thought I was, I don't know if it was like, you just thought I wasn't listening or I didn't care or like what was wrong with me. And I didn't have the words to explain that. I just like, I had always done that. And the people that I had interacted with most understood that already about me. So yeah, I think there was a lot of the first year or two of our marriage was a lot of very small things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like expectation wise. It was, this is the way I've always done it. It was, you lived on your own for a while, so like, who am I to tell you when I've been living in my mama's house my whole life? And like, but then me also kind of having this weird, like, now I'm in a leadership role in our household, and like, you need to do things the way I tell you to do them, and like, didn't realize that that was not a great way to go about things either. And also not even like, I don't think I ever once thought to ask you why you did something a certain way. I would just tell you it wasn't the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, the more I talk about this, the more I'm like frustrated with myself. Like, that's awful, and I sincerely apologize for treating you like that early on. Like, I don't think it was abusive in any way, but no. Like, it was
just not harsh. Kind. It was harsh.
Yeah, because I'm sorry. Mean,
that was. Well, it's long forgiven. I mean, we talked through
all I know, those but things. I feel bad. You're remember, such a I'm
kind
sweet.
Friend. You are a
my,
sweet kind
my
friend.
My face is wet.
But I think it was Like, I think I understood the context of where you were coming from too. Like, I knew. Like, I think, I don't know how to explain this. I think that I understood that, like, your parents, like, your family is very structured, very structured. Mine was not. And I think I had awareness at the time of like you were coming from this extremely structured environment. Like I think I had that understanding of like we're just trying to figure out how to do this together.
And I don't think, even though I was around your family, I don't think I like even had any understanding or like awareness that your parents didn't have that kind of structure. Like I felt the chaos when I was there, but I don't think I ever made the connection that like my parents are structured, yours aren't. And
Like
again,
your mom still has like a cleaning day.
yeah.
Like
And we used
she...
to, every Saturday, we would clean our rooms and strip our beds, dust the things, vacuum every Saturday, no matter what. And like now we kind of just do it when it piles up or gets bad or whatever. And like we've said in previous times, like neither one is necessarily a bad way to do things. Both have their pros and cons. It's if you're on the too far of
Extremes.
the extreme, then it can be a problem.
Well, and I
So I
think,
think that's
yeah.
where we, because we came from the extremes and we brought that into a marriage, it was like, whew,
Yeah.
good luck.
And I have my things too, hence the feng shui.
Oh yeah.
Mm
So there's a lot of those like little things. So we had our premarital, we'll get to another time, on going through the fire,
Yep.
which helped to bring us closer so that once we got to marriage,
Committed.
we were committed, but we also like they were small. Even though they became big, I'm thankful that we were able to learn on the small things and not on big things.
Well, because I think we've been through so many big things at that point
That's what I'm
that,
saying.
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, like we've been through so many big things at that point, and like the small things were small. And like, honestly, again, there was a lot going on during our, like, think about our first year of marriage. Like, we get married. I have a huge case at work that like explodes my entire world.
Oh yeah.
I started grad school for the second time because I had taken that leave of
After taking a year
absence.
off, which was you didn't want to do
Yep.
because you thought you'd lose momentum.
Which goes into some of those other things that we'll talk about at some point. Like, I like my job was not necessarily easy. And
Yeah.
then I think I still had my second job at that. I think I was still teaching swim lessons at that point.
You might have.
And then
You might
within,
have stopped that once you got your internship.
yeah, because I
That
started my
was.
internship very shortly after I started school again, because I had to get so many hours before graduating. And then I got really sick.
But yeah, I think you were still doing swim lessons because we ended up getting a membership to that gym
Yeah.
because of that, I think.
Yeah. And then I got really sick, like within the first 6 months of us getting married. Maybe it was a little longer than 6 months.
Oh, because Valentine's Day. Yeah, that would have been 8 months after.
Yeah,
I
like
forgot
I
about
got
that.
really sick in that first year. So like I think like we had a lot going on to begin with.
That's
So
fair.
I think that, you know, some of those small
The
things
year
would have probably
sniffing.
stayed small if we didn't have all those other components to it.
You can just put her nose right next to my mic and start sniffing. So, if, anyway.
She's curious.
So, what I wanted to get at was, Penny, leave it. So, mama doesn't throw another pillow at you. Yes, I'm going to pet you. Bean. It was very apparent early on that there were going to be a lot of things that we had to change to be able to make it not be a combative relationship where it was constant. And I don't know that I would even say that it was
Combative feels
constant.
very strong.
Well, but sometimes it is in
Yeah.
marriages. Like sometimes things, like little things, people let them go and then they build and they build and they
Yeah.
build and then they either complain about their spouse to someone else and they never address it, or it becomes so big that it blows up and then it's like, where did this even come from? I
Right.
know that's happened with us where there's been times where I've looked at you, I'm like, what is this? what in the world just happened? Like,
sometimes it's just hormones, and I just need some chocolate and.
Well, but most of the time, we end up, once we come back down from it, we trace back and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I don't blame you. I would have probably reacted the same way had I been in that situation or in those circumstances. But I think one of the keys that we have learned and that I've tried to continue to remember is, like, and I've heard it said different ways, of your partner is on your team. And it's more important to have, like, I'd rather be together and okay with you than to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, do I like being right. And boy, do you like being right.
Well, I'm always right, so therefore.
Okay. But, like, when we go to bed and either one of us is not on a good page with the other, we both suffer. And I don't think there's probably only been a handful of times where we've ever gone to bed without at least holding hands
or reconciliation,
saying I'm sorry for my stuff. We can deal with the rest of this in the morning or tomorrow or whenever, but I'm sorry immediately for whatever I did wrong. And, like, I just need to know that we're good.
Yep.
Like, I actually get physically sick. Like, I feel like I'm going to throw up if we're not okay. So when your goal is to make sure that you both come to a place where you're together and you know you're stronger together, that's more important than being right. And in the midst of that, you could argue that you're both right in things. Mm-hmm. And you just need to learn how to put them together. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned is, not only are there different coping skills or ways, things you can learn, maybe not coping skills, just skills in conflict resolution or learning your person or learning how they respond to things. But realizing that, like, the end goal is that you become closer with that person. Like, the longer that we've been together, the more and more I want to get to know you on a deeper level. And I feel like I already know everything about you, but, like, 10 years in, I know way more about you than I knew even 2 years ago.
Yep.
It's like, how much more am I going to know you in the next 20, 30 years? That's so exciting. And, like, again, you probably piss me off more than anybody in my life.
Hey, I am perfect in every way.
But that means, from what we said earlier, that you are my safest person.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going a little long today, but I think it's important. And I did want to get to one other thing on a good note before we kind of wrap for this. And we can decide whether or not we do more of this in the future. But what are some of the skills that we have learned now that make us a lot better at it than in the beginning? And I have a couple, if you want me to, or if you can think of
any. No, I think what you had said about, like, taking, like, the time out or, like, the walk or kind of going away and coming back kind of thing, I think that that has been huge. I think, too, prioritizing needs. I think that's not really, like, a skill for, like, the both of us, like, in the moment. I think it's kind of like when we parent kids, like, is this annoying or is this wrong? Like, trying to, like, prioritize, like,
is this worth, like, picking your battles?
Yeah, like, picking your battles, but then also, like, am I just PMSing today?
Or am I, like, making too much out of it?
Right.
Am I,
like,
emotional? Am I stressed?
And I think that's something that I think both of us have grown in from those discussions early on in life. Like, I think that we've both grown in those areas of, like, okay, this is not a thing. Or,
yeah, I think for me, looking back at any conflict or debate or whatever, like, they all had the same level of importance to me. Whether it was the way to do dishes or, I don't know, what church we choose. Like, big, small issues all held the exact same weight because to me, everything, like, I'm such a detailed person that the details are so important because they make up the big picture. Because you're a big picture person, I'm detail. And a lot of times you'd say, like, in the grand scheme of things, this doesn't matter. But I'm like, but it's all of those details that make the grand scheme of things. Like,
mm-hmm.
So to me, every single one was on the same level. And it took me a little while to realize that there are levels to it. And there are things that maybe need to be addressed immediately so we don't have this recurring. But then there's other things where it can just be like, okay, I'm not quite sure how to address this or how to put a bow on this now, but like, just know this bothers me and I want to keep it in the background. So as it keeps coming up, we can try to figure out together how we can figure this out so we don't continue to paper cut each other.
Like the dead fish situation earlier, or the floppy fish, or whatever you call it.
Yeah. So like,
that's like a great example though, because like that was really annoying.
So that example is the stupid boys are stupid middle school on It Never Stops, where you learn all the stupid handshakes and the stupid things and hitting each other and whatever. So there's the dead fish where you put your hand in between someone's legs and you like flapping back and forth and like a dead fish. And I had an intrusive thought to do that to you, but I've gotten yelled at too much for that. And to the point where you like then calmly told me like, but sternly, Bean, stop it. Like, don't do that. That really bothers me. Come here.
She just wants to make an appearance.
You're beautiful. No. Let me have that. You can have this when we're done. Go pick something that doesn't squeak.
But no, like that's actually like a really good example, because like it is so stupid and annoying, and it just like,
but it's not worth it. So yeah. For your sake, like I can try really hard to not act on an intrusive thought urge from a stupid thing, because I know that it holds more weight to you in a negative way than it does for me to complete the intrusive thought thing. Like,
put the intrusive thought into action.
It's like the Big Bang episode when Sheldon goes back and completes all the things when Amy's trying to retrain his... Wow, Penny. All right. We're getting off track now. But, so walking away, prioritizing. Did you have any other thoughts before I say the other ones I have?
I don't think so.
One thing that I've learned, I have it written down in my notes as calm criticism. So you probably know what I'm talking about as I'm going to say this. There's sometimes where I walk to you with my body language where I'm like, honey?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like trying really hard. Like, you know that it's going to be serious by the way that I'm approaching it, because I'm like almost overdoing it to let you know I'm trying really hard not to just be annoying right now and like petty, but like this is really important to me and it keeps happening and I've already ignored it like three
like,
or four times.
Like the curtains?
Yes. But like, I need you to know that it does bother me and it is a big enough thing to me, even though it feels very small to you. So like, I have a growth area for you. Can you please try to remember to do like...
And just so people know, the curtains situation is... I'm not a big curtains, blinds, shades person. I think we talked about in the first episode that like I love like peeking in people's houses at nighttime because I'm a weirdo.
Yeah, so people probably like peeking at you.
I don't mind it. Like,
no,
if people
my wife.
If people are like creep, well, they can't really creep on our house. But like, if they wanted to creep on our house, like
they will be able to.
Well, yeah, when the buildings come up. But Mark is like needing like the curtains closed. Like, so our bathroom. This should be a whole different episode, but our bathroom is like directly like next to like you go into, okay, I don't even know how to describe how our bathroom is. We have a bathroom, we have a small window, which there's always a curtain on. And then we have like directly like outside of the bathroom, like across the closets, there's like a big window. And I pee with the door open constantly. I don't care. And to be clear, it's our bathroom. Our kids don't see me pee with the door open.
And to be clear, if you close the door, I wouldn't care about the window. But because I'm fine with leaving the door open, the window needs to be closed. Same principle.
It's, well, and...
You don't go to a public place and just leave the door open.
Nobody would ever be able to see me on the toilet.
That is not true.
From that. But that's one of those things that Mark was talking about.
Priority.
That like... Can you please, for the love? And then this is usually at nighttime too, like close of freaking, because it's like practice for when we have the development around us. But I still think it's
practice
silly.
Practice how you play.
But I try, and then I don't do it right because I don't apparently close them all the way.
Sure don't. But I try to praise you when you do it right. So two other things I can think of are trying not to get defensive, which is really hard to do, especially when you have an emotional response or you feel like you've been wronged. And I think that there's, I don't know, 80% came to my mind. I'm a percentage person. Like almost 80% of arguments, you could probably say we both felt wronged.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's certain ones where it's pretty clear whose it was that did the majority of the wronging. But like when we both have conflict where we both get defensive, both get heated, we both felt like we've been wronged, and we're like, I hear you, but do you hear me? Yes, I hear you, but do you hear me? And we just repeat the same thing over and over again. So if we go back to the point of the goal is not to win the argument, the goal is to figure out how we can not have this happen again so we can keep the peace with us, so we can have closeness, then if the first thing you're doing is getting defensive, you're not trying to understand,
mm-hmm.
at least not to the level where if you're actually inquisitive to be like, all right, let it all out. Can I ask you questions so I can understand what you're saying?
Yep.
And if you start with a posture of asking first before saying, but you, then it puts the person who you're talking to, their defenses down. Also puts your own emotions down where you can have a calmer conversation. And I think even within the midst of like the calm and trying not to get defensive, like making sure that you're being direct's not the word I'm looking for, but like honest, like don't downplay things or don't over exaggerate things. Like say if it's important to you, like there's certain times where you've gotten mad at me because we were fooling around and I didn't realize for whatever reason, in this case, you weren't fooling around and you thought you had communicated that to me and I didn't get that. So whether it was your side or my side, it doesn't really matter. We weren't on the same page. And so just clearly communicating what it is mm-hmm. that is a need there. And then we kind of talked about this too, but waiting when emotions are high. Yeah, we did talk about that. And we've done that with our kids too, like where you'll be like, these kids aren't going to survive. I need to take a lap, or tag, you're it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that. So we'll do that sometimes with us too. We're like, all right, I just need a minute, or I can't right now. Give me a minute, or I'm going upstairs. I'll be back. And I think that even as we grow and circumstances change, some of the way that we respond to things does change too. And I think they're going to continue to change. Mm-hmm. But I would say that we're on the same page more than we used to be.
Yep.
But then there's other things where we've not been on the same page and we continue to be.
Like thermostat.
Yeah. Amongst other things. So one of the things that I will say is don't shy away from conflict, especially with your most important people, especially your partner, your spouse, your person. Honestly, without the conflict that we've had, I don't know that we would be as close as we are, because you learn more about the person through conflict, just like you learn about them through the good.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's more impactful because you're like, I realize how much this hurt you last time. I now understand that that's a big deal to you.
Yep.
And I'm going to do a better job to try to not only not do that, but then support other ways to, like, I don't have a good example for that, but be proactive, not just reactive.
Reactive, yeah.
So it is worth it. And then there's times where we're able to then joke about it, or before something becomes a big issue, we threaten each other with tussling, or I'm going to punch you with my punching sword, or whatever. From, I think that was from Kid Snippets or something like that from YouTube a long time ago. Anyway, so what's down? Highs and lows of the week.
I'm going to go first.
Oh, now I know what your high is.
I'm going to go first. Wait, okay. Go ahead. I'll start with my low, and then I'll end up with the high because I'm really excited about the high. My intern ended on Friday. I'm like, oh wait, today's Saturday, so I guess it was yesterday. I always go in with interns, like, at work, just kind of, like, ready to, like, have them, but then, like, it's work to kind of onboard them, and then, like, once they flutter into being like little like social work butterflies, like it's so much fun to watch. And then I get really sad and avoidant when they leave. I kept telling her that I would see her on Monday, even though I know that's not true.
Oh,
So
I'm
that's
just dumbfounded that they survive you.
my interns love me.
Anytime I get the chance, I tell them to run.
He did it on an interview this week.
I would never.
You totally
How
did.
dare you?
Oh my gosh. I interviewed one of my interns for next year, and yeah, I said, I'm working from home today. You might hear my husband tell you to run, and immediately, as if on cue, he was like, no, seriously, you need to run. Like,
How could I not? You gave me a perfect set. I just needed to spike it.
oh my gosh. So that's my low. My high is I got my floors, and they're beautiful, and I got to feng shui the room,
Yeah.
and I love it. And Mark, I don't know if he's going to admit it on here. He also likes it. He just won't. I don't know if he's going to admit it on here or not. He does not do
Undecided.
well with change at all. So like if I make a new recipe and he's not sure if he likes it or not, his response is, "Oh, that's interesting." Today when I changed the room around, it was,
I don't know how I feel about this.
"Yeah, no, I don't want to tell you about how I feel about this."
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then he would like
I'm
run
a.
away. So it's been really, it was a long week and a half. I feel like where are, well, it wasn't a week
Were
and a half.
two rooms that got done. My office, which means my desk and everything was everywhere, and our dining room, which means the playroom was our dining room.
Yeah, and it was
And
just,
those are the two rooms we use the most. So it was the biggest stress.
yeah, and I just don't like my house in disarray, like in that way. My house is generally in disarray, but like in that way, I just like rooms functional. And I don't like my walls naked, and I made my walls naked in the dining room so that way we could like move furniture around and still have pictures up and stuff. And I just, that drives me bonkers. But the floors are in, it's all pretty, and I love it.
Oh, you did both right. You start with your well. So let's see. My low. I don't know if I want to say my low. Because we still haven't had our mental health podcast yet. I got to a level where I felt like I was drowning and my brain, my body were broken down and I just hate feeling that way because it feels embarrassing with the stigma with mental health, and so I ended up taking a personal day on Friday. But yeah, let's just go with that for now, because I've also, in my growth mindset, have learned to know when I'm dwelling and when that doesn't help me to move to the next thing. So we're just gonna put a pin in that. And actually not come back to it until therapy, which didn't happen on Friday either. Anyway, let's see. What was
I
my
hope your
high?
therapist listens to this and feels bad about that.
No, don't do that.
Anyway, continue. You're high.
Mean,
Also the floors.
they do look nice. Oh. That's awkward. That's my reminder to take my old man pills. Yeah, I. No, okay. Holding baby today. And she fell asleep in my arms. And I wouldn't let her go, even though my arms were starting to quiver.
She a big baby.
Yeah, she chonky. So we have friends that just had a baby a little while ago. I don't know, maybe a couple months.
She's 2 months old.
And we were gonna see them. Stuff happened. We finally got to today, and I was trying to. Well, let's just be honest. I was more infatuated with the dog to start with. They also got a puppy. But then once everybody had their chance to see the baby, I didn't want to like upset her. Because she was just having a rough day, but I really wanted to try. And then once I was able to get her in a happy state, then I held her for a very long time. And
can you believe that you're a baby person?
It's so weird. Yeah, I thought they would all break because of the stupid ceramic head babies in middle school. But now I love it. And so, yeah, getting to meet new puppy and getting baby snugs today was... I miss her.
Okay.
I texted them earlier today saying that. All right. Game. How well do you know your person? Current scoreboard. Mark 8, Ashley 7. First question. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I want to answer this first for you.
For me?
Yes.
There's... Because I'm nice, I don't think you're going to get the correct answer. I think you'll probably get the secondary answer.
You wanted to be a zookeeper or a marine biologist?
Okay, actually, that was... The correct answer is zoologist.
Zoologist. OMG.
But I will give you credit because that is actually basically put those together. And that's my other one was to be a point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, I ignored that one in my brain.
But like an actual realistic one that you like when I was in elementary school, like I wanted to be a zoologist. Like that was I loved animals. I got encyclopedias and like would
such a nerd.
Rent all the VHS tapes from the library of like National Geographic. And like, it was just, I couldn't get enough of it. I had a trivia game with animals that I started memorizing the cards so I could beat anybody. So I was like, all right, zoologists. Still don't really know what that they do other than study animals. I don't even know if that's a thing now or if it's all concentrations, but
should have been a vet.
No, because I can't deal with sick ones or putting them down.
If you were a zoologist, you would have to.
No. No, I just studied them.
You just study them?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then as I got older, then I wanted to be an NBA player. But that was always a pipe dream. That was never going to be possible. Because of my iron genes.
Ha ha ha.
What did you want to be when you grew up? See, this is where you might get some ground back. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I know what you went to school for, but this is more of a question of like when you were a kid, what did you want to be? A Power Ranger. I know it's not an actual career, but I'm pretty sure was it the yellow Power Ranger or the pink one? The
pink one.
Pink one. I wanted to be the yellow one before I realized that it was a girl. Because yellow's my favorite color. Let's see. Actual career. I don't know that I know this. And if you say cheerleader, we might get divorced tomorrow. It's not that one. No, it was. It was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
Ha. Ha.
No, you said that at one point.
No. I never wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. Ever.
But who is it that I know that said that?
I watched the show.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Like, because it's dramatic and, you know, funny. But I've never wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
All right. I'm going to take the loss. What was it?
I wrote in my journal when I was 12 years old that I wanted to be a psychologist.
Oh, OJ. I was going to say, what's wrong with you? How would you even know what a psychologist was at 12? What's that, middle school?
I have a picture of it, actually, because I just threw those pages out. But then
like seventh grade, maybe?
I took pictures. Hold on, I can give you the date. Hold on. I can find it. I think we did talk about this, because I found it a couple years ago, and then I found it again recently.
Psychologist.
Yes, I wanted to be a psychologist. I think I was 12. Let me see. December 27th, 2002.
Yeah, I've been 12.
Dear Diary, I just figured out that I want to be a psychologist when I grow up. I don't know why. I just do.
Okay.
Anyway, today was just another cleanup day.
Okay. So that doesn't count, but I'm...
No, like, that's genuine. I wanted to be a psychologist at the age of 12.
What is my favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh.
I'll start with yours. Mint chocolate chip.
That's not fair. That one was easy. Oh, the death by chocolate. Like, it wasn't
It was
just
a trick
chocolate.
question because it's no longer in existence.
Yeah, like, it's not just chocolate, though. It's like all the chocolate.
Do you remember who made it?
No.
Turkey Hill.
Okay.
Do you remember what was in it?
Brownies and fudge and
It was chocolate
chocolate.
ice cream with like chocolate chunks, brownie, chocolate chips, I think.
Yeah, lots of
Might have been
chocolate.
chocolate swirl or something. Death by chocolate. There still has never been an ice cream that has rivaled
Why
it.
did they discontinue it?
I don't know. I
Maybe somebody
never.
died by chocolate.
It was me.
Okay.
Well, my insides may have, but that's another. Okay.
Lactose intolerance. Denial of lactose intolerance.
We're already long. We don't need to go into that either. So future thinking, we could also think about this for next time. We don't have to decide on one for what to talk about next time. That's a couple ideas we have on there. For the sake of time, let's just figure one out
I
between
think
now and then.
we alluded to feng shui, because
Maybe.
that also brings up like marital stuff too. I think it goes in with like, I think
All
we have
right.
more marital disputes we could talk about.
Stay tuned. We'll see if that's what it ends up being. So, until next time, God bless the Hot Mess Express. I wrote it down this time. Goodbye. Okay,